Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. That's why Poetry Magazine is proudly called Chicago home for more than 100 years. Poetry publishes contemporary poetry, including talents like Ada Limone, Ocean Vuong, and Avery R. Young. New subscribers to Poetry Magazine also receive an exclusive tote bag. Get yours at poetrymagazine.org/totes4poets.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. Rise and Shy, WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is Curious City. In our last episode, we learned about some of the out-of-place animals that have been found in Chicago, including a peacock, an alligator, and a 20-pound vervet monkey. Today, we're asking a related question. What happens when those animals get sick?
Hello, hi.
I'm Lauren, the practice manager.
Hi, what's your name?
Lamore,
I'm Erin.
We're gonna spend the morning here at the Chicago Exotics Animal Hospital in Skokie. This is one of the few places in the area where you can find several creatures whose native lands are thousands of miles away. We'll meet some of those creatures and hear some wild stories from the people who care for them.
We are exotics exclusive, so our clinic is very compartmentalized. And why we say that is we're never going to put a 16-foot python next to a little tiny rabbit because a rabbit's prey animal.
So this is the office manager, Lamore Gattinio. She's the first person to greet me at the door. The second person has a pygmy hedgehog in her tote bag.
What? You have a hedgehog?
Well, I don't come here by myself.
Oh my God!
This is Christina Hannigan of the Hedgehog Welfare Society. Yes, that is a thing. She rescues hedgehogs all over the Midwest.
Bred here as pets, they're from East Africa. So they're bred here as pets. There's ethical breeders, not so ethical breeders. They are exotic, so they're not necessarily easy to take care of right out the gate. People are looking for Instagram right away. So if it's not a perfect, I can wear a costume, they're not interested.
This is an issue I've heard a lot about, especially when it comes to exotics. People want a cute animal for the gram, but they're not really here for everything else. And I hope I'm not exacerbating the problem, but oh my God, this hedgehog is adorable.
She looks like a spiky hamster.
I mean, this is a girl?
Mm-hmm.
She's so roly-poly.
They are. I like them roly-poly.
What she does is really important.
Some of the clients at this hospital are like Christina. They're from local rescues, bringing in their ailing animals. But most clients are regular people with exotic pets who need care. The next person I meet is the owner.
Dr. Susan Horton, she's the one who had this vision and started this.
Dr. Susan Horton, she tells me that this place is one of only three exotics-only animal hospitals in the U.S. and Canada that's accredited by AHA, the American Animal Hospital Association.
AHA is a certification process that ensures that we stick to the gold standard of veterinary medicine so that nothing weird goes on here.
Nothing weird going on at the Exotics Hospital. But actually, I don't know about that. It's apparently Pirate Day at the hospital. Everybody in the building is in a pirate costume. So I would say it is arguably weird in here. In a fun way.
Thank you. The first part of our hospital is our pharmacy and workstation. We try and keep most of the drugs on hand here so that we don't have to send people somewhere else. And also, Walgreens and Osco aren't going to carry a lot of this. So
Lamora is giving me a tour now, and you will notice it's pretty quiet in here. She says that's because there are none of the louder animals here today, like pigs or macaws. And most of the ones that are here are prey animals. You know, the quieter types that don't want to be noticed.
This is the main ICU. If you come this way, they are actually performing a surgery right now, and you can look through the glass.
Okay. Tell me about the surgery. So
right now they're doing a neuter on a rabbit. And that's pretty routine. We like to neuter rabbits for many, many reasons. One, behavior, but two, less risk of testicular cancer. So it's really in their best interest to be neutered.
Okay. There's an iguana getting an X-ray to my left. In the next room, I got to meet somebody named Gomez. I'm excited to meet Gomez.
He's a black and white Argentine tegu. He weighs about between 11 and 12 pounds, so about the size of a cat.
I don't really know how to describe a tegu better than, okay, it's like a stocky, dark, less ornate iguana.
He's a pretty cool guy. I can pull him out.
Actually, pretty cute. And holding Gomez is Kim Kelleher. She's the assistant manager at the hospital.
This guy was found in Wheeling, just wandering around in the streets somewhere. And somebody found him and was able to capture him and brought him to Wheeling Animal Hospital. But they really just do dogs and cats. So after a couple days, they figured we got to find somebody who knows what they're doing and can handle this guy. So they brought him here. And I said I'd foster him. So I took him home. But of course, after like a week or so, he wasn't going anywhere, so.
Yeah, you heard that right. Gomez is Kim's companion now. Hers has become the permanent home for a few rare animals, like a tarantula found at a construction site, and a leopard gecko found in a forest preserve. In Gomez's case, they called police and posted on social, but nobody claimed him. And she has a little soft spot for tegus.
What was it about him?
He just is very calm, which usually, if you get a baby, you have to really work with them a lot to get them to this point. So somebody at some point clearly put a lot of work into him. And I'd had one before, but she had some health issues and unfortunately didn't make it. And it, in a way, just kind of felt like fate.
Kim says all kinds of animals waddle through the doors here. They get plenty of rabbits and lizards, but also macaws and other exotic birds. They treat river otters, pigs, and raccoons. And they get turtles, ducks, alligators. I mean, the list goes on.
How many surgeons do you have in here?
We have currently 4 surgeons. Everybody is capable of doing different types of surgeries, but some of them like it more or just a little bit more adept at it. So we do surgeries currently 4 days a week.
How about you? Do you get into any doctoring or surgeries?
I am definitely not a doctor, but I did start here as a veterinary assistant. So I used to go in to do the surgeries. And I was working in back when you got here today. So I still help with blood draws, x-rays, bird groomings, all kinds of things.
That got me wondering how a typical animal vet turns into an exotic animal vet. And Kim says it's the same kind of schooling, but afterwards they get internships and other work experience either at zoos or hospitals, like this one.
We take in a lot of students who are trying to learn more about exotics. The exotics track in the veterinary schooling is just, it's not all encompassing, but they only have a brief amount of time to focus on all these different types of animals. So it's really something that if a vet's interested in, they have to seek out the education.
Before she started working here, Kim spent 5 summers at the Brookfield Zoo. She was the roving naturalist. She also volunteered at a local reptile rescue, which is where she heard about Chicago Exotics Animal Hospital in the first place. Eventually, she applied, got the job, and she's been here ever since. I asked her, in all her time here, what's the most bizarre situation she's encountered?
It's a tough answer to give after about 12 years here because we've seen so many different things. But one of the strangest that sticks out in my mind was a client that had a swimming pool in his basement with sharks. Not very large, they're about 3 feet long, but he had these rescue sharks that came from weird scenarios, and he set up his whole basement to be a pool and the filtration system for it.
Is that legal in Illinois?
Yeah, yeah.
To have sharks?
It's just not easy for most people.
Oh my
but
goodness.
If you're willing to put in the effort. We also saw baby emus recently. We see foxes. We've seen servals, the kind of big cat. As long as it's legal, if you have a permit, then we'll see it.
Except, Kim says, no monkeys. Barely anybody is going to see a monkey. Kim says they're hard to work with, very smart, and they have a lot of diseases that can be transferred to humans. They don't really make good pets either. So they should probably just stay at the zoo. Or in their natural habitats.
So what happens if a person brings in an animal and they don't have the proper permits to even own that animal? Do you have any liability on your end or responsibility as far as the permit before, after, or even during care?
We do require permits. So when we get a call that someone has a certain type of box turtle, I'll say, okay, do you have your permit? If they say no, I say you need to get one and call me back, basically, is how it goes. Or if there's a certain animal that you can't have, I will kindly let them know, we can't see it, you are not supposed to own that, you should talk to IDNR. But it's also sometimes hard to tell if it's a prank call or not. We've definitely gotten calls about, oh, my tigers are sick, and you can just tell they don't have tigers and they're just bored. So sometimes it's a little hard to, so you're not going to go calling the police on every, you know, you never know exactly what's going on the other end of the phone line.
How do you work with civic entities like the city of Skokie or Cook County when they're dealing with an exotic animal?
Yeah, the local animal control officers, we're pretty close with them by now. We have their cell phone numbers. We when they call, it's like, okay, what do you have now? We've just kind of built this relationship where they know they can rely on us for these weird things and we'll help them as best we can.
Do you have to like go out on site sometimes, or how does...
Sometimes there's been a few situations where the police weren't necessarily comfortable dealing with the animals. I had a specific situation myself where we got a call about this giant snake. Nobody would touch it. They wouldn't come anywhere near it. We need somebody to come get this snake. So I drove out there and it turned out to be a baby ball python that could fit in the palm of your hand, just sitting there minding its own business, not trying to bite anyone. I scooped it up. They all took a step back. It was pretty funny. So the situations where they're not comfortable with what they're dealing with, then we do have experience handling these weird animals. So we'll jump in and help with that.
I mean, when you hear the word snake, you know, you're just like, it's big. It's a big word. You know yeah. what I mean? But yeah, that's funny that you just scooped it up. Kim says the world of exotic pets, like the world of all pets, is an emotional one. Pet owners love their pets, and when they're sick, they're worried, which can make for a stressful environment.
We joke about the very different hats we put on, whether it's therapist or janitor or, you know, it's across the board. It's a very varied job.
Kim Kelleher is the assistant manager of the Chicago Exotics Animal Hospital. Kim, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was great meeting you.
This episode of Curious City was produced by me and Justin Bull. Susie Ahn is our editor. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, you can send them to us at curiouscity@wbez.org or go to wbez.org/curiouscity. And you can check out the hospital's website at www.exoticpetvet.com. And be careful typing in that URL. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.